Good morning. Glad to see so many of you here this morning. Glad that you're here to worship together as a family. Glad to have any of those that are on Zoom. I had the opportunity, it was great, while I was recouping and we had those guest preachers. Of course, I was over on the couch and I got to get in and get into Zoom and see the service, but it also allowed me to see all those other boxes across the top from other people who are Zooming in, so I got to see who else comes in and sees. So it's kind of neat. I got to see, when I first got here, all of you kept talking about Marilyn Selfie. I got to see Marilyn, and Marilyn, I know you're probably there. I'll say hi. I should have chatted, but that would have been rude, and I wouldn't have been listening to the preacher. So I'll have to get in touch with you sometime directly. Hey, I just want to share a couple of announcements with you this morning, and these are just some upcoming events, especially just for this week. But take a look at everything that's inside the bulletin. First of all, you'll see that tomorrow LCCM is having an open house. You can just walk in, drop in, it says, from 4 to 7. You can take a look at their new Fresh Start Homeless Shelter. That's down in Lebanon. So if you've got any questions, see Jean Lutz. She'll help you out with that. But it sounds like a great opportunity to just go see the new stuff, some of the new things that they're doing. That's tomorrow. Thursday, we have our council meeting. I just want to make sure I highlight that. That's this Thursday, February 1st. For anyone who's in those commissions. The council meeting is open. If anybody wants to just come and be there, that's fine too. So that's this Thursday. And then on Saturday, the prayer walk, our next prayer walk. It's Saturday at 10 o'clock out here at Lingle Avenue Elementary School. I'm gonna beg, okay? I'm not going to bribe, but I'll beg. Last time we got together, there were three of us, Vicky, me, and one other person. If we're truly going to adopt, if you will, this school, and we're truly going to pray for them and ask God to bless them. Now, maybe some of you were praying from home. I won't discount that possibility. But if you're able, please come on out this Saturday. Even if it's cold, even if there's something, come out. We'll meet at the school and we'll decide there. If the weather's too bad or it's too cold and you feel like it's too windy, I could never walk here, we'll figure something out. You can either stay in your car or we can come back here and we'll pray. But I'd love to see more people than just three of us. Three of us praying for that school. But whoever shows up, we will pray. That's on this Saturday. The other ones I won't necessarily highlight. You will see communions coming up. We got our coffee shop going in the mornings. Evening will start in February. Bible study is going to start February 18th. So any other announcements? And then we do have one other announcement, yes, that Angela would like to share some information with us.
Good morning. All right. So last week you may have heard that there was a fire in the town, in Palmyra, and a family lost their great-grandfather, their grandma, and one of the young children. And so this family has been part of Palmyra Church of the Brethren for many years and very active in the Palmyra community. And so their son, Tucker, still goes to Central Dolphin School District, and we thought it would be wonderful to show our support as a church family to another church family by giving a blanket to Tucker and also to Amanda, the mother. And so Pastor Jeff is going to pray over these blankets, and we also have a card in the back. If you would like to sign it, we'll give it to the family as well. And just keep everyone in your prayers. This upcoming week is going to be tough for them.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so during the prayer time, we'll take a little special time to pray over the blankets. It was described, you know, very nicely that that's kind of our way of providing them with a hug. When they wrap that blanket around them, then hopefully they'll feel our hug, they'll feel God's hug. So we'll pray for them during the prayer time. Any other announcements, any other schedule events, anything that we need to know about, plan for? Okay. Well, then let's pray. Let's prepare ourselves for worship this morning. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We are here as a family, as a family of believers, a group of believers who are here just for you. We're here to praise you. We're here to lift each other up by sharing the ways that you have shown your love for us. And we want to show you how much we appreciate the love that you show for us by just praising you in song, in prayer, by listening to your word. This service is a dialogue. It's a conversation between us and you. And so, Father, I pray that you will hear us. I pray that we will be open to hearing you. And I pray that everything that we sing, say, and do this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able for our call to worship. I just felt like Psalm 8 was a good one for this morning as we consider just how awesome and how wonderful our God is. It reads, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, and through the praise of children and infants, and every one of us this morning, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? I'm going to say us. Human beings, that you care for us. You have made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, I love to catch them, and all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Another new song this morning. New song for us, anyway. I don't really know how new it is. It's a rendition of the Lord's Prayer, so feel free to clap along if the Spirit guides you.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us. We forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven. The kingdom. The power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours, forever and ever. The kingdom is yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours, forever and ever. The kingdom is yours. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here.
Thank you.
This is just a reminder, and we throw this word around, but just how awesome our God is. Just think about that. Greet your neighbor and remind them, God is an awesome God.
Awesome God.
Good morning. God's pretty awesome, isn't he? Well, I got at least three or four people singing, God is an awesome, our God is an awesome God, so we could almost do it a cappella right now, but we won't. Hey, we'll take a moment now to lift up prayers, prayer requests, praises. I'll save the blankets for just a little bit, but are there any, what are your praises from this week? How was God visibly active? Yes, we've got one back here. Up in the orchestra, up in the band shell.
My wife and I just celebrated our anniversary yesterday. 56 years.
56 years. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. Any other praises? Say that again. Oh, thank God it's not cold because we got a lot of snow. Okay. So we got it. Yeah, so we appreciate the nice mild weather. Yes, if all this rain had been snow, we'd be underneath.
And praise God for my husband, Bob, who's celebrating a momentous birthday on Tuesday.
We'll just call it a momentous one. Okay. Happy birthday. Hey, and I had Google this morning as I woke up, and you get this little ding, and it tells you your memories, and I pulled it up. It reminded me that this date, January 28th, 6 years ago, I was kneeling at this railing being ordained by the denomination. So I had a whole bunch of pastors from my past. So quite a few milestones. We got anniversaries, birthdays, and just... anniversaries of special events. Anything else? Any other praises? Yeah, up top.
Ginny is not here with us today. Her prayer is that she's been sick all week, and prayers for that. But her praise is that she has a warm and dry place to stay when she's not feeling well. And there's other people that do not have that luxury. So she feels very blessed.
That's a great reminder. Yes.
Hello? Yes. We have a six-year-old in our house now. Lucy's birthday was this week.
Happy birthday, Lucy. Yes. Another one that we can be excited about. Any other praises? Oh, all right. We're on a roll. I like it.
It's a senior moment. James also shares a birthday with Bob. So I'm remiss in not mentioning James is turning 8.
James, another birthday. Yes, all right. Nice. We got all kinds of birthdays. Excellent. Any other ways that God's been working in your life this week? I'm praising, you know, for this healing is just going so well. Yeah. The therapist is pushing me hard, and it's good, and I'm healing very well, so I'm thankful for that. Any prayer requests, or if you think of any more praises, please feel free to throw those in, but prayer requests that we might have?
Please pray for Debbie Shiflett. She is having surgery tomorrow.
Yes, yep. Okay. What's that?
Hey. Oh, you're my inspiration.
Oh, well, thank you. We're going to sing that one now, too? You're my inspiration. Well, I hope, let me say this. I hope that it's hip surgery, right? I hope that it goes as well as mine did. I was blessed that, yeah, the healing was good. I hope yours goes just as well. Yes.
This Tuesday, I finally, hopefully, will find out what's going on with my knee. So prayers that I just want answers. It's been a month. I do not have very much patience. So this has been a month of testing my patience and just believing that in time. I'm thankful I've also kept my brace on because I just wanted to throw that away the last 2 weeks. So just prayers Tuesday that I get answers and can finally move on. So.
Okay. We won't pray for patience because then somehow it'll get canceled and you'll have to wait another 2 weeks. Or, yeah. Yes.
Our ELC director's husband, Patrick, he went into unexpected heart failure a few weeks ago. He is in his 40s, looks like a bodybuilder. So it was very shocking and things were going well, but Friday... Hello? Okay. It's all right. I'll go fast. She, I get it. She received news that there's nothing more we can do. So the family went and they were told if we can stabilize him, we can fly him to Pittsburgh. And hopefully a few things might fall into place where he could get a transplant. So we had prayer vigils all day. So it's kind of a praise prayer. Vigils all day during school, and they were able to life flight him to Pittsburgh Saturday morning.
Okay.
Still waiting for, I don't know more news, but yeah, if you could just pray for Patrick and Jess and the whole family and LCS family.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Any others? Oh, yep.
Yep. So prayers for the three oldest kids. This Friday, they're all going in to get their wisdom teeth yanked out.
Oh, my.
So
okay.
Pray there's no complications there. And prayers for Amanda and myself, too, as we'll probably have to.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. All three of them at one time.
Yep,
okay.
All three.
Okay.
So, and then on a side note, too, I have two tickets to the PA Auto Show at the Farm Show today, if anybody's interested.
Ah, okay. Okay, so Jeff, yep, having all three kids having their wisdom teeth taken out. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Well, then let's take these to the Lord. I know he heard them, but let's refresh them. Let's bring them to his attention again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all of those things that were mentioned, all those milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, special events, as reminders of how you stay active in our lives. We know that you are concerned about every hair on our head, and that you care about us even when we think you've forgotten about us. We thank you again for just all of those things that were mentioned, all those ways that we could think of you being a part of our life. We know that we've missed so much. There was so much we could have listed because you're with us every single moment of every day. And we thank you for all those things we take for granted, just being able to wake up, just to be able to take a breath, just be able to step out of bed, and all those things that we do because you give us the ability to do it. Father, you heard some of these requests that came up, that people have concerns. There are things that are happening tomorrow. We pray for Deb as she goes through her hip surgery. I pray that the surgery and the healing would just go so smoothly, that she would get the comfort and the release from pain and from the discomfort that she has. And she would just, in several weeks, just be able to just walk so smoothly and so comfortably. And she'll be so thankful that she went through with the process. I pray that this week, too, that you'll give some clarity to Janae, that she'll know what is happening with her knee. You'll help the doctors to know exactly what's going on and exactly what needs to be done. If there's any problems, they'll know exactly how to treat it. But we just ask for clarity as we get these test results back. We thank you for the way that you're working in Patrick's life and all those things that had to fall into place, and that is not a problem for you. And we thank you that you've got him in the right place right now and still waiting for a transplant. And so we just pray that there would be, if it's your will, that there would be the transplant available and that would go smoothly as well. But in the meantime, we pray for that family and all those people who are affected. We just pray for strength and comfort for them as they deal with this stressful situation. Father, speaking of stressful situations, I pray for Jeff and his family as all three kids get their wisdom teeth taken out. I pray that there would be minimal pain afterwards. And we just pray that the extraction would be very smooth, very successful, and again, that there would be so little pain, and that everybody would just be back to their happy, laughing, bouncing selves before long. Father, we grieve for a family here in town that suffered from loss because of a fire. We have people who know them much better than some of us, and it has become very personal for some. But for all of us, we have all experienced loss, and we understand to some degree just how rough it is for this family. And so, Father, I just thank you that we have a group that comes together, prepares these blankets for just this type of situation. You knew that we were going to need these, and so you had them create them, have them ready. And so, Father, right now, I pray for these two people who will be receiving these two blankets. I pray that these blankets will provide comfort, not just physically, not just warm them and make them feel comfortable in that way, but as they use these blankets, that they will feel your love, that they will recognize your love as it's expressed by us, that they will be grateful for the love that we're showing them, but it's the love that you are giving through us. And I pray, Lord, that they will grow closer to you. I don't know what their situation is. I heard, we heard about them going to a church here in town, and I just pray that they'll lean on you, they'll just grab a hold of you right now, and they'll just use you to get them through this terrible situation. And I pray that the community will continue to just rally around them and help them with all of their needs. Father, I thank you for the way you provide for each one of us during the week through an income And we've taken an offering, and I pray that you will bless that offering. You will receive it. It will be a blessing that you can use to bless all those around us by strengthening this church in some way. We just thank you for who you are and for what you do for us in so many different ways. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you to join me in singing our first hymn, Come We That Love the Lord. Noticed in particular, I hadn't paid attention to it when I chose the song, but that second verse, I hope, regardless of whether you feel like you can carry a tune or not, I hope you do try to sing along or at least say the words, at least in your head somehow, even if it's not verbal, but, you know, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. That should be the only reason you're not taking part somehow, even if you're just reading the words and thinking about what they mean, you know. But children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. Whether it's a hymn, whether it's the praise songs, whatever the situation might be, let us not be quiet in our minds or even verbally when we have an opportunity to praise the Lord through song. All right, that's not the sermon. WWJD, that's the sermon. Back in the 1990s, I'm sure all of you remember WWJD. What did it stand for? What would Jesus do? But that's so 1990s. Today, I have a different version of what WWJD means. You want to hear it? Okay, then you got to pay attention because it's coming at the end of the sermon. But I promise I will give it to you. But WWJD, what would Jesus do? The whole idea, the premise was, it was supposed to be a reminder anytime you looked at your bracelet and saw WWJD, you'd come to a situation where you've got to make a decision. Well, what would Jesus do in this situation? And we're going to see how that applies today in our set of verses that we're going to look at and how the gentleman, the character, the main character of this story, well, and even a secondary character, how they lived their lives with this whole idea of what would Jesus do. I doubt that they were walking around with a bracelet, but let's picture them with their little neon green bracelet that has a WWJD on it, okay? Because that's how they're living their lives. They're modeling their life after Christ. What would Jesus do? So we're in chapter 9 of Acts. We have just finished up with quite a few different characters. We started the book of Acts with Peter and John. We saw Peter preaching. We heard Peter for a little while, and then he sort of went away, or we just didn't hear about him. We heard about other different people, and we spent some time with Saul. We got to learn about roughly 3 years of his life and how he's converted, but we've sent him home. We put him on a boat, sent him back to Tarsus, and now Luke hits us with a transition, almost kind of like a meanwhile back at the ranch kind of idea here. Because as soon as we get started in verse 32, he talks about Peter again. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, verse 32, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. Peter was one of the apostles. If you remember, we read earlier how the persecution that started in Jerusalem, Saul was going around grabbing people out of their homes, throwing them into jail. The believers that were living in Jerusalem took off, they spread, they went to different places. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, they told us. And remember, that was one of the reasons Saul went to Damascus, because quite a few of the people, when they left, they went to Damascus and out. And then once they were there, he was worried about, we want to make sure that they don't do anything to ruin the integrity of those synagogues. And he took off up that direction. But Peter, at some point now, this is much later, sometime later, Peter is leaving Jerusalem. He's just traveling around the country. Now, maybe he's not leaving as in finding a new place to reside, but he's out, he's active, he's moving around. He's traveling about the country, and he went to visit the believers who lived in Lydda, which was about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So he's moving up toward the coastal plain, the plain of Sharon. He's getting up closer to the coast, closer to the water, but he's moving from Jerusalem up to Lydda, 25 miles away. He's just out doing his thing, probably talking to people, preaching to them, letting them know what he knows about Jesus. And in verse 33, it says, while he's in Lydda, there he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. He finds the man. He didn't get word while he was sitting in Jerusalem. He didn't get a word from God that says, I need you to go to Lydda. You need to look for this kind of man. We've had situations like that, but that's not what's happening here. Peter's just out. He's doing his thing. He's ministering in the area, and he runs into somebody named Aeneas, somebody who was paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Suggests to us that he wasn't always paralyzed all his life, because they're referring to him as a man. He must have had some kind of an accident. Maybe he fell off his thatched roof. Maybe he was a soldier. Maybe it happened during a war or something like that. Somehow, this man has now become paralyzed, but he's been paralyzed for 8 years. And he's been bedridden, which means that he has his mat that they would, people, somebody, a relative or so, somebody like that would roll out his mat, put him on that mat for the day. It doesn't mention whether he was a beggar or not, but he's not going anywhere. He has to stay on that mat, in that bed, all day. And this is a situation, this is our first situation where Peter then has an opportunity to look at his wrist, at that neon green bracelet, and say, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? He's just walking along, and there's a man who's paralyzed. Well, what would Jesus do? Well, what did Jesus do? There's a couple of examples. There was one where he ran into a man who was beside a pool, and the whole idea with that pool thought was that the disabled people would sit around the pool, because the idea was that as soon as the water stirred, for whatever reason, whether a breeze maybe made some ripples or a spider fell in it, whatever caused a ripple, as soon as the ripples started, the first one in the pool would get healed. That's what they believed. Well, that man who was sitting there says, you know, I have nobody to help me into the pool when the water stirred. When I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down before me. There were other people who were able to move and get into the pool, and this man couldn't do it. But what did he do? He looks at the man, Jesus looks at the man, he says, pick up your mat and walk. And so Peter would remember that. He had that other instance where somebody lowered a paralyzed man down through the roof to get there right in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus tell that man? He says, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Get up and take your mat. So what would Jesus do? Well, he would heal that man, tell him, get up and take your mat. So what does Peter do? He gets his attention. Aeneas, he calls his name. Peter said to him, verse 34, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. He gives credit where credit's due. Jesus Christ heals you. And then he says the same type of thing that Jesus said. Get up and roll up your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up. Another situation where there was an immediate healing and the man just pops right up. And I know that we talked about it a little bit when we talked about Peter healing the one that was in the temple, how the gentleman jumped up and he's jumping around, even going through the temple and stuff. But think about it again. We cannot just zoom past these kinds of verses. This man has been paralyzed for 8 years. His muscles are mush. He has not used them in 8 years. It made me think about my own. It made me think about my mom. And she was at the facility, Plum Creek, down in Hanover. She had her little apartment. Had a cane, but she was getting around fine. Well, she tripped one day. She fell. She had to go to the hospital. And so while she's in there, of course, hospitals were hotbed for COVID. She got COVID, so she had to stay for an extra 2 weeks. And all that time, she was in the bed, and they would bring a therapist in to try to do maybe some exercises with having her lift her feet and stuff like that. But she was not doing much of anything. She was in bed for a couple of weeks. And when they released her, they could not release her back to her apartment because already by that time, her muscles were not functioning properly. She had to go back to critical care or personal care or whatever it was. She couldn't go back to her apartment. That's just after a couple of weeks. This man hasn't been able to walk for 8 years. And as soon as Peter says, Jesus Christ heals you, get up, those muscles are healed. And so just kind of like picture yourself, put yourself in that man's position, the feeling, the strength that all of a sudden, I'm sure he could feel that those muscles suddenly were strong again. They're able to allow him to step up. He has no delay, no pause. He just gets up because those muscles, I think about some of these movies where you see somebody, you know, or like Popeye. I'll go with Popeye. Some of you can probably remember. He eats the spinach, and what happens? You know, he stands there, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, you know, the muscles get big. That's probably what happened to this guy. All of a sudden, he just, boom, he can just feel the strength, feel the power. And that's why we shouldn't, I mean, yes, he gets healed, get up, you know, and we keep moving on. Man, when you talk about an awesome God, just that immediate healing. And complete healing. He gets up. And the only other thing before I keep going, I want to. There's one other point here. When Peter and when Jesus also had said, get up and roll up your mat. Or maybe some of your translations say, get up and make your bed. I know he's not talking about a four-post bed here with a box spring and mattress and all that sort of thing. But let's use that thought for just a second. When we get up in the morning, we're told, hopefully we all learned, when you get up in the morning, you make your bed, right? Now, when you wake up at 1:30 in the morning because you have to go walk to the room around the corner, do you take the time to make your bed and then go over and do what you need to do and then come back and get back in bed? No. No. That would be silly, right? Well, why? Why wouldn't you do that? Because you're getting right back in bed, right? Okay. Because you're going to use it. But when you get up at 7, 6, 7, 5, whatever some of you get up, and you take your shower and you're ready to go to work, we make our bed, right? Well, why is that? Because we're not going to use it for another 14, 15 hours, right? That's why we make our bed. Same kind of principle applies here. Why is he being told to roll up his mat? Is it just because you don't want somebody else to have to follow behind him, walk behind him, and clean up his mess that he was just too excited, he took off, ran, and then so whatever, reminding him, well, don't forget, don't let your mat lay there. No, I think this is an exclamation point on the healing. The healing was get up, and he could. He got up. But the exclamation mark is, and roll up that mat. Why? That's where you used to abide. That's where you used to live. That's where you used to spend all your time. But roll that mat up, because guess what? You don't need it anymore. Roll that mat up, take it home, throw it in the closet, because you don't need that mat anymore. I think that's why it specifically says, get up and roll up your mat. It's like that exclamation mark on the healing. You don't need that mat anymore. So we keep moving here. Verse 35, it says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So even this man becomes active. He's got the strength now, the ability to move around. He's obviously not just hiding out in his house, because the people in the town, but also the people in the plain of Sharon, people are seeing him. It says they saw him, not just that they heard about him. All those who lived there saw him and turned to the Lord. He is now witnessing. He's out there moving around, witnessing, talking about the healing, talking about the Lord, and people are turning to the Lord. One other point about this particular paragraph and how we see Peter just out doing his thing, just moving around, and he happens to run into this man named Aeneas. I want us to think about how much easier it is to use something that's in motion already. Think about when you're sitting in your car, and if you have to turn it on because all of our steering wheels lock these days, but if you don't take it out of gear, it's still in park, and you want to try to turn the wheels, there's a little bit of tension there, right, as that wheel tries to squeal against the blacktop, the pavement, or whatever. But if you put it in gear and you start moving, it's super easy to steer that car, right? We're the same way for God. It's a whole lot easier for God to use you and to steer you when you're already in motion. Peter was already in motion. He was already out doing something, and it was real easy then for him to just, oops, run into this man, this paralyzed man. It's a whole lot easier than when we're sitting at home on our couch and saying, I'm available, Lord. You just tell me if there's something you want me to do. I'll be happy to go do it. Now, the Lord can do that. He can use that. But it's a whole lot easier for him to use you when you're out, for instance, like at the table. Those people who are here preparing the food, serving the food, mingling, whatever the situation might be, and all of a sudden one of those people who comes for the meal says, hey, if you got a second, I'd like to talk to you. Or, you know, hey, I've got a question for you. Would you pray for me? Whatever. That's that same kind of situation where God's able to steer, and next thing you know, you're just running into somebody that you're able to minister to. So we need to be on the move, need to be active, doing something in serving the Lord. Now, while that's all going on, it tells us that in Joppa is about 11 miles north now, about 11 miles away from Lydda. In Joppa, there was a disciple, a believer, follower, named Tabitha. That's her Aramaic name, because it tells us then in Greek her name is Dorcas. Did you hear the giggle? That's what happens. I was just about to say, this is the worst type of story to try to teach a youth group. I remember when you got a youth group and half the youth are unchurched and you say Dorcas, all you get is left. You got to spend about 10 minutes trying to reel them all back in. Dorcas wasn't as funny back then as it is today. But that was her Greek name, Dorcas. Her Aramaic name was Tabitha. Both mean gazelle for some reason. Don't know exactly why she was chosen, you know, why that name was chosen for her, except that maybe when I think of gazelles, I think of them being very graceful, and I see them bouncing, and I see them running. Again, they're active. And it sounds like she was too, because it tells us that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Sounds like she's got one of those bracelets. What would Jesus do? Doing good and helping the poor. She wasn't sitting around. She's out doing something. She's active, helping the poor. And in a few verses, we're going to hear about some widows. My guess is that she probably was helping them. They might be the poor that they're talking about, or at least a group, subset of the group that she's helping with. She's probably an advocate for them. They have no voice. They have no strength on their own. She's probably out making sure that they're being taken care of. In some way, she's speaking up for them. But she's out doing good and helping the poor. What would Jesus do? She's modeling her life just like Jesus. And then in verse 37, though, it says, about that time, she became sick and died. I'm sure it had a great impact on that community because she was so active and so helpful. She died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Their custom of the of that time was to wash the body, anoint the body, wrap the body, and get that body buried by that same day, ideally by sundown. But for some reason, we see them wash the body, and then they're kind of pausing. So they must have something in mind. Let's see what that is. Verse 38 says, Lydda was near Joppa, as I said, about 11 miles away. So when the disciples heard that Peter was down in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Now, 11 miles, the commentaries say it probably took about 4 hours to walk that. 4 hours to go down to Lydda, find Peter, and urge him, please come at once. Here again, looks at his bracelet. What would Jesus do? Think of Jairus' daughter. Peter was with Jesus when somebody came to Jesus and said, we need your help. Come to my daughter, you know, to help my daughter. And he went. And so verse 38 says, Peter went with them. So figure another 4 hours back. So 4 hours down, they got him 4 hours back, 8.5 hours later probably. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. And all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. It's not super obvious, but we can pause here and say, again, Peter is saying, what would Jesus do? He's been summoned to hurry back and to do something. I don't know what they had in mind exactly, but they knew, or they were hoping, they had faith that Peter could help in this situation somehow with Tabitha. So he's been summoned. That's his purpose. That's his goal. That's his focus. But before he's able to do anything for her, he's got these widows. And these aren't these professional wailers that we've talked about before. Anytime somebody died, they would hire people to stand outside and cry and wail. These aren't professional. This is genuine. These widows, they're genuinely crying. And it says they're showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas made. He's taking time to let them grieve and to share stories with him. It's going to take a little while for these women to explain to him how, oh, well, this is the robe that Dorcas made for me when at one time I got a little too close to the fire and it burned a hole in the bottom of my, and I was so embarrassed. And so next day she had one made for me already. You know, whatever kind of stories went with these robes and these clothing that these widows are showing, he's taking time, just like Jesus did as he was heading for Jairus' daughter. Do you remember? There was an interruption. There was a pause. There was a woman who touched him, touched his robe. She was healed. Jesus didn't have to stop. He could have kept going. She was healed. But remember, he did. He stopped so that he had the opportunity to interact with that woman and let her testimony be given and let people see her. She had her time. She had her time with him. And that's what these widows are getting. They're getting time with Peter because that's what Jesus would do. Now, he does take the time then, verse 40, to send them out. And again, what would Jesus do? He remembers what Jesus did with Jairus' daughter. After he put them all out, we read, Jesus put everybody outside the room except the father and mother and those disciples who were with him. Peter was one of them, so he got to see this. And he went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her, now this is Jesus, back with Jairus' daughter, Talitha Koum. Talitha Koum, which means, little girl, get up. What would Jesus do? Talitha Koum. So what did Peter do? Tabitha Koum. Look at it. He says, he sent them all out of the room. He got down on his knees and prayed, because I imagine this is kind of new to him. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to pray. But he received his message as he's praying. He was led to then turn to the woman. He says, turning toward the woman, the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up, which is Tabitha Kaum. Just like Jesus said, Talitha Kaum. He knows. He's modeling everything he's doing after Jesus. What would Jesus do? She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, and he helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Another opportunity for people to see the power of Jesus and what he could do. So I guess it's time to tell you my translation or my new suggestion for how we can look at WWJD and see what it means. You see what happens when these people were living with Jesus as a model. What would Jesus do? When they took the time to think about, I want to be just like Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? And I want to suggest to you, as we see here, if we are living our lives, modeling our lives after Jesus, if we take the time at a moment when we need to make a decision, and if we say, what would Jesus do? I'm going to suggest to you, WWJD, just watch what Jesus does. Just watch what Jesus does. If you're modeling your life after him and you're concerned about what would Jesus do, just look out and just watch what Jesus does. Because you're active, you're out there, you're doing what you need to do. You're like Tabitha, where you're out there doing good and helping the poor. You're that moving object that Jesus can steer so much easier, and you run into people. You run into people at the drugstore. You run into people here at the meal. You run into people at Walmart. You run into somebody that suddenly you stop and you think, oh, this is my opportunity. This is me being used by the Lord for a witnessing opportunity. It works a whole lot easier for the Lord if you're out there doing something rather than sitting on your couch saying, well, you just tell me, Lord, and I'll go. But you're very, very comfortable in that cushy cushion on the couch. Now, there's one more verse, and this is kind of like one of those TV shows that you watch, and the main theme of the show gets taken care of, the plot is developed, the bad guy gets caught, whatever, and then they take the last minute of the show to all of a sudden have somebody like walk around the corner and you, oh, I thought that person was gone, or you know, there's some kind of surprising element that makes you want to tune in next week to see what's that all about. Well, that Luke didn't do that on purpose because he didn't have chapters and verses and so forth. But for us, this is your little teaser for what's going to happen next week. Verse 43 says that Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. At first glance, that's just kind of an okay kind of moment, but there's a whole lot in that one verse. Simon is a tanner. A tanner was somebody who worked with dead animals, taking the hides off and taking all the hair off the hides and making something constructive out of that hide. But because he's working with dead animals, he is ceremonially unclean. No Jew wants to be anywhere close to him. They'll gladly buy the stuff he makes, but they don't want to be close to him. And so no tanner was ever allowed to be a part of the city. They had to build their house, they had to have their house outside the city. Another reason was because when you're working with dead animals, you've got animal parts and you've got animal, it smells bad, right? So another reason why they're outside the city. Well, Peter is staying with this guy. Peter probably doesn't care so much. You know, we've been talking about Saul and our mindset is with Saul and all those Jewish rules, and you don't do this, you don't do that, you would never get close to that guy because he's dealing with dead animals and so forth. That's Saul. Saul's gone. He's in Tarsus. We're talking about Peter. Peter is very willing to accept the hospitality of this man. You want to stay at my house for a while? Sure. He stays with this man. And do you think he cares about the smell? What was Peter's profession? A fisherman. You think he smells much better than a tanner? He probably doesn't care about the smell. And what this does, though, is set us up for next week. The idea that Peter is staying with someone who is ceremonially unclean, but he's okay with it. He's staying with him. He's living with him for a little while. And we're going to find out just how that is so critical next week in our next set of stories. So, again, stay active, be moving. He can steer you a whole lot better. What would Jesus do? Make your decision based on that, and then just watch what Jesus does. When I started this, and I thought about this lesson, this set of verses, and I was working on the sermon at the beginning of the week, I was going a whole different direction. It was going to be about the power of prayer and how, Peter, he got on his knees, he prayed, he was able to heal through Jesus' power. It was all about prayer. So that's why, I got to tell you that, because that's why on Monday, when I decide what hymns we're going to sing, I have to go with where I am at that moment. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing. Let me pray first, and then we'll sing our final hymn. But that's why it's all about prayer. It's never a bad thing to sing about prayer, but I just want you to see that the connection isn't quite as smooth as some weeks. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that we find in it. Thank you for the example that we see in it. Thank you for recording the actions of Jesus so that we can see how his followers used him as a model and used him as an example in their daily life. And it's just a momentum. It's just something for a motivation for us to also to remember that every moment of our life should be lived using Jesus as our example. And Father, I pray that as we do follow Jesus and we do use him as our model, that you will use us and that we can be a model for someone else. And that we can just be amazed as we watch what Jesus does with us and through us. Father, I pray that you will use us. And I pray that if there are any of us who are more like the paralyzed man and we're just sitting at home not doing anything, Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to just kind of give a nudge. Help us to find ways. I know we're not all anxious to run out there and go overseas and be a missionary and do heavy-duty things like that, but there's always ways that you can use us. Help us to be ready to just share a witness when we run into a friend at the coffee shop or when we run into somebody we haven't seen for a while at Walmart. Whatever the situation is, steer us, Lord, into those opportunities for witness. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So again, let's sing our final hymn, number 442. Teach me to pray, Lord.
Thank you.
So as you run out and you buy your WWJD bracelets, make sure you're active, remain available, so that the Lord can use you so much easier. And as he does, may he bless you and protect you, and may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.